Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. What happened?
What happened
on Raw? It's
Raw. Jon Stewart happened.
Jon Stewart happened.
Honestly, I didn't mind this week's Raw. Like, I actually enjoyed most of it, except for maybe the main event.
Yeah.
You know, opening was fine. Seth, like we've stated a billion times, he's become their workhorse. Like, he's just been doing everything right on camera. Well, excuse me, on TV camera.
You've been waiting for that.
No, actually.
You thought about that, like, last Friday, and you're like, I'm going to say this, and it's going to come right off the cuff.
No, that literally was off the cuff.
I don't believe you.
Well, that's your prerogative. Whatever. The stuff with the Intercontinental Championship, the whole, like, playing hot potato, they did a really good job with that. It was kind of funny that, you know, all this was happening and Daniel Bryan standing on a table just, like, looking around like, what is happening? They didn't touch on Stardust and Goldust.
Makes
me think that, and I did see, like, I saw a picture on Instagram of him holding the Intercontinental Championship. It's like, okay, well, they're including him in this too now, I guess.
Yeah. So that feud is over?
Or they're just waiting until after Mania.
Yeah.
Or okay, maybe they're doing, like, what they're doing with John Cena. Obviously, they're including John Cena in the Battle Royal as a way for him to be on camera and then have Rusev, like, at the last minute be like, yeah, let's fight.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. Because didn't they do the exact same thing with John Cena last year?
And Bray Wyatt?
And Bray Wyatt coming in, they have a match.
Well,
maybe all these storylines are bleeding together, but I could have sworn that they did the exact same thing last year.
Yeah. So the thing with this WrestleMania, as an overarching theme of this WrestleMania, it is... So I know that last WrestleMania, best WrestleMania ever.
Yes.
And so I'm trying not to compare it to that.
Because it would almost be unfair.
Yeah. But even without that, I'm trying not to be too hyperbolic, but it feels like we're gearing up for the worst WrestleMania ever.
What would you say right now was the
worst? Right now, worst WrestleMania ever? What number was the Roman one?
Oh, that was 9.
9?
Yeah. That one was pretty bad.
Like, it was bad.
It felt like a train wreck.
Like, the gladiator theme, like it wasn't working for me at about minute 4 of that 3-hour show.
And they kept going.
Well, you can't stop. You built the whole thing around. I'm just like, alright, part of, like, it's hard to judge WrestleManias independently of each other, you know, because there's some stuff where, like, I'm watching older WrestleManias, I'm like, I have no attachment to...
Right.
You know, a third of that roster.
Right.
Because they never went past that. Or, I don't have a lot of the build-up. Even up through fairly recent WrestleManias.
Yeah.
Depending on how good the video package was.
Well, yeah.
You know, there have been some video packages where I'm like, I am into this based solely on that package. There have been... And there have been some stuff like... The Rock and Stone Cold are fighting. I am, you know...
Right.
There are some names. I am into this. Let's go.
Storyline, you know, who cares? It's these guys. Yeah.
But I just... That one was kind of just off the whole time. And then had the... Hogan comes in and does the...
Saves the day.
Minute and a half rematch thing. Or additional match. And just, ugh, gross.
Yeah. Yeah, very much had a lol Hogan wins feel to it.
Yeah, I am definitely willing to hear other candidates for
worst WrestleMania.
And again, this one, you know, we haven't seen WrestleMania, so it's hard to be like, this is going to be the worst WrestleMania.
27 was pretty bad. I don't know if I would say it would be the worst, but it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
You know.
But, like, yeah, I'm trying to think, because, like, I was hyped for Triple H Undertaker.
Yeah, but then again, I also thought we were going to get an HBK run-in.
Yeah.
You know.
Part of that, part of it was, just how disappointing it was, because the build up to 27 was really good because The Rock came back, and because I'm like, The Rock is doing something at 20, and when it ended up being what it was, I'm like, that is a giant unending letdown.
Right. And like we say, the best part of 27 was the set.
Mm-hmm.
And the Miz promo.
The video package.
Yeah.
And CM Punk was on there back in the day.
to
Randy Orton.
Okay, and a lot of people were saying that was match of the night, too.
I mean, it was match of the night. Yeah. It was also really nice.
They knew, again, it didn't seem like it was that hard to accomplish.
No,
that year.
It wasn't. The core was on that year.
Fighting it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fighting it.
I know you are. That was also, I'm trying to think. Yeah, because that was 2011?
Yeah, it opened with Del Rio and Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I did like that the CM Punk Randy Orton feud stemmed from him punting him back in 2008.
That was the one impressive thing about that they actually used some sort of continuity with that.
Yeah, from that long ago, all the way back 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, 27's not great, and 27 is not, but had a great build up. This one has had a atrocious build up. But that's part of the thing is, you know, I talked about it in the No Chance column this week. It's just there's so many of the main things, only one person's there. Taker has not shown up. Bray is just talking about how Taker's not to be scary anymore.
Right.
Triple H has literally had to say, I know why you're here, Sting, and then do Sting's side of the promo.
Right.
Because Sting hasn't said a single word yet.
Right.
And then Brock is
Brockin'. Yeah. But he's also got Paul Heyman, so mm-hmm. we can kind of stem that a little bit. Like, and let's just go ahead and say that Paul Heyman promo was pretty amazing.
It's spot on, and it's a better Paul Heyman promo, better than average Paul Heyman promo.
Yeah.
And an average Paul Heyman promo is miles above anybody else.
So this one was just...
Yeah.
Just an undisclosed amount of miles ahead of everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's been a couple. I still think the best thing he ever did was the first Chicago Raw after Punk left.
Okay.
And they had to come out and just like... And he had to handle the crowd, and there was no other way it could have been done.
True.
And like you went above and beyond there.
I don't know. I also the promo after he beat the streak.
Oh, that's good too.
Was always stuck that one and the promo that he got whatever they handed Brock the new belt after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman just kept going to the point where like Brock Lesnar had to like sit on the table.
Yeah.
And wait around for him to continue.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was fun.
Yeah. So, there's been talk, and I mean, this is basically rumor, about WWE trying to let kind of... Obviously, the wild allegation rumor is trying to feed this Brock is leaving WWE for the UFC again stuff in an effort to get booze for Brock.
Right.
Do you see that? Any chance of that happening?
No.
At all?
No.
Like, even a little bit?
I mean, like we've said in the past, fans are kind of starting to get more on board with Roman. So, it might not be as bad as we would have thought.
It's going to be a WrestleMania crowd, though, dude.
I know. But, I don't know, some part of me thinks that it won't be as bad as we've been making it out to be. But that fear that Brock is going to get cheered more than Roman should be very real to WWE. It's a very real possibility.
So there's a lot of comparison to the Brock and Goldberg match.
Yeah.
Where they're both just booed. And they're both booed for leaving. But I feel like WWE as a brand had a loyalty back then.
Yeah.
That it doesn't hold today.
Yeah.
And I think part of that stemmed from how close it was to the Monday Night War.
Right.
That when you said you were a WWE guy or a WCW guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot of loyalty to it. And, you know, WWE relies weirdly so much on the casual fan now.
Yeah.
So to the point now where, you know, we might not get that strong reaction, or we might. We don't know, because of, you know, the casual fan that kind of flip-flops.
I'm also a lot more excited to see Brock Lesnar go back to UFC than I would have been to go see him play football.
Yeah, no, true.
I mean, especially, like, he went to UFC, became the champion, and, like, Brock looks at the peak of his career.
Yeah, he looks
right now, and part of it's that he doesn't have to show up but four times a year.
True, true, and you know, a lot of people have said that he's a lot healthier now than he was even when he started UFC because of the diverticulitis.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's the thing is, like, part of me definitely doesn't want to see Brock leave. If Brock would stay another year, another 2 years, I'd be all for that. Just watch him.
As long as they would give him a match that aren't Triple anything. H. No, John Cena. I'd almost would rather see a Triple H.
A Triple H over a...
Because we've seen so much Cena. But then again,
we've seen the exact same amount.
I know, but it feels like so much more.
The exact same amount, and one of the John Cena ones also had the Seth Rollins thing, which basically fixed the match. I mean, that was match of the... That's match of the year so far. There's no...
I would have to think about it, but yeah, it would be a contender.
I think that's very safely my match of the... I mean, there's been two pay-per-views, and...
Yeah, one of them was Fastlane,
yeah,
so
one of them was Fastlane, and, you know, and Raw very rarely even gets contenders for match of the year.
Right now, yeah.
But, yeah, throwing Seth Rollins in and making a Triple H effectively fixed the match.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, yeah, would love to see Brock here, be that thing. At the same time, it would be cool to see him in one more UFC fight. Just going all out, what can Brock Lesnar do? Now, if Brock Lesnar goes and, like, gets knocked out in 40 seconds, I'll be really upset that I lost another year in WWE
right.
for that match.
And then it'll just be like, well, you know, we'll see you in WWE in a few little bit.
Yep.
So. Just like last time.
Mm-hmm. So, that being said, though, like, specific beats of Raw, John Stewart's the most memorable thing. John Stewart acknowledging that people get attacked in hallways backstage.
Yeah.
Was just a nice touch.
Although, and then there's another thing that I found interesting. John Stewart was like, seems to be the only person to have brought up that, you know, theoretically, Kane is the reason why Seth has the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that no one has brought up. Like, even, like, the day after Money in the Bank, I don't think anyone ever brought that up.
No, I don't think so.
I'm like, look at Jon Stewart trying to bring in some continuity. He's a legit fan or
That's the thing, is, like, Jon Stewart seemed like he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, we haven't, like, seen him do a whole lot of stuff, but, you know, on Daily Show, he'll bring up, like, random WWE references here and there. Like,
yeah.
Just peppered in.
And it's... I mean...
If he seemed pretty upset when the streak was broken.
I'm just saying, if he left the Daily Show to do, like, a little Daily Show wrestling minute, where, like, he in KFAB reported on what was going on in the WWE...
Vince needs to just reach into his vast WWE money bank bag, whatever he has, and just throw it at
Stewart.
John Stewart, be like, hey, you can go make your movies or whatever, but, like, maybe once a month, hopefully once a week, have, like, a half-hour Daily Show-esque show about wrestling on the network. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
They're already doing the Cole interviews. Just think how much better John Stewart would be at that. You know? Like, bring a little humor into it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything with Michael Cole and stuff, and they bring a lot of intensity, but it's always serious. Let's liven it up a little bit.
You said Cole interviews? I thought you said cult interviews, as in they had gotten Colt Cabana's podcast to start being on the network, and I'm like, I'm gonna nod, because if that had happened, I should have totally known about it, and I don't want to seem like I missed something
but
that
big. But
at
the same time, you also wanted to call me out because you enjoy making me look dumb on the podcast.
Well, I mean, if you were to say, like, yeah, Colt Cabana on the network, hadn't you seen it? I'd be like, yes, I had. I've definitely seen that because I didn't want to be caught with my pants down having not heard that Colt Cabana was on the network. Something of that caliber.
I'm going to have to come up with something to where that actually does happen to make you sound like an idiot.
It's not going to happen.
Give it time.
So, but honestly, like, the most interesting thing to happen, I think, in WWE this week is Alex Riley's going to be an in-ring competitor again.
Yeah. I mean, I heard a little bit of spoilers from, like, some of the tapings. I knew it was coming. It's interesting how they're building it up.
Mm-hmm.
I like how William Regal's just like, you know, either you're a competitor or you're an announcer. You don't even have a contract as a competitor right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what? That's how that works? I'm pretty sure the guy works house shows.
William Regal runs a tight ship on
NXT. He does. I mean, he let Kevin Owens run wild, but, yeah. You know, whatever.
But, I mean, some of my favorite things to happen on NXT was, like, somebody came in and demanded a match at one point, and he said, I'm sorry, it's full. You can't just get a match tonight like that. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? He booked the card ahead of time? That's amazing.
It's unheard of.
Being like, all right, yeah, we'll get you in the ring, Alex Riley, but we gotta go through these steps.
Like, yeah, you can't face the NXT champion, like, right out the gate. Come on, slow down. Take a little moonchild over here.
I like that. I don't know. That's what really gets me on NXT.
Is just, they actually try. They give a crap.
It is storyline and it is ramifications for actions.
Yeah.
And just, it's wonderful.
With random random, like, former WWE talent just running through there for some reason. They're running Rhino promos.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, okay, alright, sure.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I was thinking about that because I watched that and I was like, we are 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. And literally the thing that WWE has done this week that made me go, ooh, the most, was Alex Riley's going to get back in the ring.
Yeah.
Was that this Miz protege that fizzled out
and now is a commentator / pre-show host.
Mm-hmm. Is getting back in the ring. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm on board, I want to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with WrestleMania.
Nope.
Nothing to do with anything John Cena related, Roman Reigns related, championship related.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. It's not my problem, it's their problem.
No, it is. I also had a thought, like, they seem to be adding a lot of people to this Intercontinental Championship ladder match, which is fine, because it sounds like a good idea. But don't they need those people in, I don't know, the 30-man Battle Royal?
They are going to have 38 people not be in single matches.
Yeah, like, oh, is it going to be an 8-man thing?
I'm assuming. I mean,
so right now they got Wade.
I mean, let's narrow it down. Six. They're gonna have 36 people. Now they got the flexibility.
Because we presume R-Truth, Barrett, Ziggler,
Daniel Bryan,
Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper.
Yeah,
six. And now apparently Stardust.
Stardust. And if they're going to have seven, they're going to have eight.
So they might as well throw Goldust in there, I guess.
I mean, I figure some of the there'll be some NXT people in the Battle Royal.
God, I hope so.
In fact, that would not be a bad way to debut somebody like Sami Zayn, is have him win the Andre the Giant.
True. Now I'm just thinking, like, it's probably going to be somebody lame that we don't care about.
Yeah. Just
throw them in there like bull. Can't stand
Bull Dempsey?
Okay. Let's see. As much as I don't like Bull Dempsey, I dislike, what's his name? Lone Wolf guy.
Baron Corbin?
I can't stand Baron
Really?
Corbin. He has such presence as he walks in. He literally just, like, his head's down, his head's up, bright lights. Hooray! He has presence. He moved his head. Does it count as stage presence? And have you watched his matches that last more than 2 minutes? They're god-awful.
Alright.
I'm sorry, but the NXT crowd makes everything seem like everything gets over. And that's not the case.
Emma.
Bo Dallas, Emma.
The Emma factor.
And
Bo Dallas got over. Bo Dallas, they pushed through, they persevered.
And then forgot.
Yeah, Bo Dallas worked.
Bo Dallas might be in the Battle Royal.
I would take it. But so here, what I was trying to segue into...
I'm sorry.
...was, you saw NXT this week.
Yes.
And Sami Zayn made his video.
Yeah.
How close do you think Sami Zayn is to getting called up? Because he's been at NXT for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say, like, any minute now, but at the same time, I know that they're going to have to do some sort of payoff with Kevin Owens.
You think so?
You don't have to. Like he says, I haven't watched the footage or whatever, and when I do, then I'll decide what I want to do with Kevin Owens. I feel like they've got to have some sort of payoff, probably at their next special event, which probably won't be till summer.
It's in March, isn't it?
No, because I think they do one every quarter.
Okay, I thought they announced it in April. I don't know why I said March, but I thought they announced it.
And I mean, you know, with... You already have your number one contender already lined up, and I believe...
That's happening next week.
Next week? I thought it was the week after. I already heard, like, March 20-something.
Maybe it is the week after. I thought it was But it's happening this month.
Kevin Owens is kind of a busy guy. Like, he's got number one contender, he's got Alex Riley now, and then you still got Sami Zayn and, you know, waiting in the wings somewhere. I'm assuming that maybe Sami Zayn comes out and costs Kevin Owens the championship and they have a grudge match at the next special event. And then, at that point...
And then Sami Zayn can win that and not be champion and leave.
Sure.
Is what you're going with.
Sure. Because a lot of us had heard that Sami Zayn, who's going to have a lengthy championship run, and, you know, then he would move up. Well, meh. He doesn't have the belt anymore, so they can do whatever they want.
Part of the thing is, like, I kind of feel like if Raw's like, you know, we need that Sami Zayn guy, let's go, NXT is going to have to flounder and figure it out.
Right. I will be surprised if Adrian Neville isn't on the main event, or the main roster sometime soon, because they're not really doing anything with him on NXT anymore. So yeah. I feel like, you know, they're kind of phasing him out of NXT.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and move him on.
Right, I mean, right now, an NXT member is my pick to win the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Once we get to actual official picks, the podcast right before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'll see if anybody has been actually announced for it, and we'll see if there's...
Right, because it's not like you're going to get, like, surprise entrance or anything like that, because, you know, aside from, like, a handful of guys, everyone else is going to already be in the ring.
Right.
So, you would think, if they're trying to build interest, especially from, you know, this growing NXT fan base that they've got...
Right.
Add some interest, be like, hey, this guy that you really like at NXT is going to be on the WrestleMania Battle Royal, so check that out. If anybody, Adrian Neville would be the guy.
Yeah.
I feel like. Yeah, like, you know, everyone seems to be really high on the guy, and it's believable, and, you know, he would be a good shot in the arm. For them.
Yeah, and you still think Adrian Neville's going to be on the main roster before Sami Zayn is?
Yeah. What? Just because I feel like they have to... They're going to want to tie up these loose ends with Kevin Owens first.
Okay.
And I mean, it would...
I mean, it's feel, a fair... Because like,
I feel like Kevin Owens
feel.
Is going to be on NXT for a little while.
Yeah, he's only been there for 2 months.
Right, exactly. So, and I would feel kind of cheated if they didn't have, you know... a full story with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens before Sami Zayn gets called up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, have Sami Zayn get called up and still have a story with him. Whatever. They've done that, too.
They have done that.
I mean, technically Cesaro, but Cesaro wasn't really doing much on the main show anyway, so who cares? Same thing with Tyson Kidd.
He has a title. That means something. He has a title. It's important and it counts, right?
Sure.
Cesaro has a title. It means he's next in line to be champion.
He's also a third wheel.
Golly, I just... That's the thing that's the hardest about that Intercontinental Championship match is I'm watching everyone like, You all could be fighting for the main event right now. That's just...
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
So...
That's why I'm trying not to dwell on Daniel Bryan being on the Intercontinental Championship thing too much.
Yeah.
At least he's there for a championship. Okay. Daniel Bryan's got to win that, right? Like, I know we're not doing our predictions for a while, but Daniel Bryan's got to win that, right?
You think?
Like, wouldn't there, like, be a riot somewhere if he didn't? Like, there should be a riot now that he's not in the main event.
You think they'll do that to try and appease that final match? Like, Daniel Bryan has a title.
Don't you think?
I mean, it's a good point. The thing
like,
is...
Like, the fans, like, kind of up and going before the main event? So, like, you know, they're not completely pissed?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like after Roman wins and Brock is gone, Daniel Bryan is the next in line for the contendership. They just kind of already did all that. They wasted all that trying to...
Right.
You know, get the Roman cheers earlier.
Right.
So, Roman has beaten Daniel Bryan cleanly and fairly, center of the ring.
Yeah.
Bryan versus Roman doesn't need to be the next thing.
No, it doesn't. I still think we're going to get Roman and Seth.
Yeah?
Afterwards, yeah.
I mean, Seth has the briefcase, so that's...
What is... Has Seth been announced for... Oh, yeah, no, he hasn't been announced, but I'm still assuming he's going to have a one-on-one match with Randy. That feels obvious, right?
That feels obvious, even though Randy's part of the Authority for right now.
Yeah. I'm guessing they're waiting on... And
either that, or Stewart's going to be the celebrity for 31.
Which I'd be okay with.
I would...
I mean, A, he's
best
a...
Best celebrity they've had in years.
Yeah, he's a big fan. Since he's probably not going to take a... I'm assuming he's not going to take a bump or anything like that.
No.
But having some sort of celebrity involvement, and who knows, he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame in like 4 years, just from like a 5 minute involvement.
I would
be more okay with him being in the Hall of Fame than Drew Carey, who's already in the Hall of Fame.
If we could have a Randy Orton, John Stewart tag team against a Seth and J&J in a handicap match, like it's not the worst thing that'll be on WrestleMania this year.
I mean, I'm trying to think who else would be in that match, celebrity-wise, that would be willing to do that. But then again, we would have the Leno situation from WCW. Nobody wants that.
Oh,
although the Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman thing actually wasn't terrible.
Okay, but here's getting off that. Here's the thing. Going back to your Daniel Bryan winning the belt.
Yeah.
How much of WrestleMania do you think will be designed to get people to not boo Roman?
I feel like at least that much.
I mean, they catered a whole Royal Rumble match to trying to get that being the end. Cheering for Roman. They have catered an entire Fastlane storyline, as well as the whole arc leading up to it, to try and get us to not boo Roman.
Right.
Are they going to bend the whole WrestleMania specifically to try and get the cheer noises for Roman when he wins at the end of WrestleMania?
I mean, did you see the Royal Rumble?
I did.
They tried their best to make it all about Roman, and they screwed it up royally doing so. And they shot themselves in the foot with it. There's like a, you know, we talked about it ad nauseum, we don't have to really cover it, but there's like a billion ways they could have done that better and still had the same result.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, probably. I mean, I don't sit back and think that every, you know, internet, quote unquote internet guy is going to win every single match they've got.
You know?
But at least that match, the Intercontinental Championship match,
you think has to be Daniel Bryan,
either him or Ziggler.
Okay,
anyone else, and you know, and also again, it also depends on the spacing and the planning and the booking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that match is first, who knows? You know,
yeah.
at that point, you know, you make sure you have somebody the fan likes at the end of the Battle Royal and make it a good ending. I mean, it's not going to get much better than the Cesaro one last year, but...
The thing is, like, you did your best thing, you gave it to Cesaro, and then you took it away from them.
Just have, like, just leave the tag team championship match, like, right before the main event, and just have Cesaro and Kid retain. Bam. You know.
Just, here's the thing, is like,
don't have the Vicky Guerrero Diva Battle Royal right before the championship match again. That's one way to do it.
Well, I mean, it's gonna be a Bellas versus AJ and Paige tag team, right? That's what it's gotta be.
I guess. I mean, if they wanna keep a tradition, then you might as well continue.
They're not gonna do another Vicky
that
Guerrero
single
invitational.
That's not. It wasn't even a battle royal. Like, I don't even know what to call it. Like a single fall.
It was a Vicky Guerrero Invitational.
That's what it was, and it was decided by one fall. Like, yeah. How dumb is that?
I didn't.
Do you remember how many loose tassels there were in the ring? It was so annoying. Just because the freaking Funkadactyls, I think, or I don't know who it was, but people with tassels.
So, in this case, for me, the worst outcome of Royal Rumble is a middling, okay, begrudging, apathetic Roman Reigns victory.
Yeah.
If they get it, they win it over and get us to cheer Roman Reigns as the next, you know, face, fine, they did it. But if that's not the case, mm-hmm. I needed to swing all the way in the other direction.
Yeah.
Because if it is just okay enough for them to like limp along and power through and still have this resistance, I'm just like, I don't know how long I can handle this resistance,
yeah,
to Roman Reigns, like at the level that it is right now. Like if it was unending power boos every day, whatever, I didn't know. I'd be like, now let's go, let's just watch her. Here comes Roman, power boos, hooray! Just the Schadenfreude of it all.
Just, you know, let it burn.
Yeah,
you know.
But right now,
put some gas on it, make it burn quicker.
What's kind of killing me is just this like cheers mixed with boos.
A lot of, you know, middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't. Just enough cheers to keep them being like, we're doing,
you know,
the right thing.
But you know what would be worse than that? Because they got the whole adage of, you know, as long as they're making noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be even worse would be crickets. You know? Just complete boredom, no one really caring. Because,
yeah,
let's be honest, there's a very real chance of that happening with Brock Lesnar being like having a match with a slower opponent.
Yeah.
You know, because Roman, he's a powerhouse type guy.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a slow match for a lot of it, minus the, you know, Superman punches and spears that we're going to probably get a billion of.
If you're willing to do it, you guys, if, you know, it's your WrestleMania ticket, it's your money, but if we could get some footage of people standing up and leaving once Roman Reigns comes out, being like, WrestleMania must be over! And just like Roman Reigns coming down the stairs and people walking past him to leave?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, if we could just get that on camera, like, it's your WrestleMania money. I can't say, leave WrestleMania during the main event. But if you wanted to, if you wanted to be the guy who was walking past Roman,
or have people do exactly what we had proposed everyone do whenever Tensai came out, is just as soon as you hear the music, just stand up and turn your back towards the ring.
I mean, I don't know if you can get a coordinated turning the back to the ring,
but how amazing would it be?
It'd be amazing.
I mean, you're not going to get a coordinated walkout of the main event either.
I don't need a walkout. I just need it to be difficult for him to walk down because so many people are trying to leave.
He's like, oh, sorry, pardon, sorry.
And it's a narrow thing. I need like 5 people to leave, max. And they have to be like, oh, excuse me, sorry, excuse me. That's all I really need.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Vince would probably just arrange for him to be descended from the heavens.
I don't know.
Jesus, Roman?
Maybe they've tried to descend people from the heavens before. I don't think they're going to do that ever again.
Not even his thing?
Ever.
Not even his thing? No?
I don't think so.
I don't think you're right. I don't believe you.
I mean, I don't know how Sting's going to enter. Like, I don't know if he's gonna,
probably walking in.
You think he'll just come down the ramp?
Yeah.
Sting.
Or they'll try to use some like Undertaker phenom crap where, you know, lights out, lights up
here. I mean, yeah, it's like,
but then again, at the same time, someone was, you know, on Reddit talking about this. WrestleMania is going to start at like 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
They said the only match that's going to be quote unquote in like at night is probably going to be the main event, because they're saying, you know, sun sets around, or sun goes down around 7:30.
Yeah.
So we're going to see Undertaker in like broad daylight. We're going to see Sting probably at broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only time you wanted to go dark would be Roman Reigns, I guess. So, I'm sure. I swear I didn't even set that up.
Match in the dark match. You just hear thumps.
Well, if it's going to be the dark match, might as well throw out Daniel Bryan and Sheamus out there.
Oh, you made me sad. Okay, if Sheamus is the other person in that stupid...
You know he is. You know he is. If he is the other person. I mean, he's got to be that or the Battle Royal, right?
Here's the thing. Is like they're advertising him
but
now,
not saying specific when.
But he has to come out before WrestleMania, right? They wouldn't advertise him before WrestleMania if he wasn't coming out.
Right.
By WrestleMania.
I would think so.
So he's got to make a surprise return to win either the IC title or the Battle Royal. Oh, gross.
I don't want it. I don't want either of those.
Oh, gross.
I don't want, no.
God.
But then again, you know, you kind of, well, he did do a surprise entry at the Royal Rumble 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously didn't win. So, I guess, maybe not. I mean, they don't seem to be as high on Sheamus as they used to be.
They are,
I mean, they're high enough.
Special video package.
True. I mean, and they are. They were high enough on him to just kind of throw the U.S. Championship on him whenever he came back.
Sheamus, there's been more Sheamus footage than Stardust and Goldust footage combined last week, and Sheamus wasn't there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could say that about a lot of guys that weren't on the show.
I know.
I mean, he probably was running close to, like, how much time Daniel Bryan had last week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I still feel like you're making my argument for me.
But you're thinking that this is a bad sign that we should be worried and, you know, the end draw extremely nigh.
I just... Does Sheamus draw extremely nigh?
I mean, I don't know how well he draws, so I don't know why you're bringing that up.
Do you want to do what's making you happy?
This week is almost over. I mean, that I'm sorry, I've had a crap week.
Oh, poor baby.
Okay, whatever. Shut up. I mean, I it's just one of those weeks where it's just like, nah. I'm ready for it to be over, and the fact that it's Thursday crossing into Friday, I'm extremely happy about that. So that is what's making me happy.
Is there anything wrestling-related making you happy?
The main event for NXT, Charlotte and Sasha Banks, was really
a female main event always is a good thing.
Yeah. I don't know if always is a good thing. Depending on, you know, it depends on who's doing it.
It has, but Raw...
I mean, I'm not saying, like, if they're... Like,
a Divas match is main evented Raw twice.
Right.
So, it's not...
And it was incredibly well done both times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So ending NXT on it, great, and obviously deservingly so, because it was a championship match.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should have been. And on top of that, it was a really, really good match. So yeah, wrestling related, that's what's making me happy.
Okay. Alright, good job.
Yeah, and Jon Stewart, come on.
And Jon Stewart, come on. For me, there's a guy named Max Landis. He's a screenwriter.
That's coming out soon, isn't it?
Yes. If you... I think he wrote Chronicle. And so he did a short movie several years ago called The Death and Return of Superman, which is, in short, a summation of this comic book storyline where Superman...
The first time they...
Yeah.
They killed him.
It died in 92. And a little bit of, like, just what happened and kind of the ramifications of that through the comic industry.
Yeah.
And he announced a while back that he was doing a sequel to it, a spiritual sequel to it, focused on wrestling. And that, he announced that's coming out. He is clearly a genuine wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Because this is a random short film he's making out of just passion.
Right, and there's also a thing that was going around on YouTube for a little while, where it's him talking, like, telling a friend, like, exactly why wrestling is such a good art form.
Yeah. You know?
And really bringing up some really good points defending wrestling, and I believe like Dolph Ziggler was there too talking about it.
Yeah.
So he's clearly a huge fan, big proponent. He sees like the creative element of it. Mm.
And so, unless you be concerned that he is still faking it, he announced that it is coming out on March 16th.
Yeah,
which is 3/16.
Yeah.
So I feel
like he's having a screening of it on the 15th. Yeah. I saw. But it, so. Everyone should keep an eye out for
but we, the common folk, will be able to see it March 16th.
Yeah. It's going to be called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling.
Wrestling
right?
Isn't Wrestling.
Okay.
Which is a play on the Wrestling Isn't Fake.
Or Wrestling Isn't Real. Or, yeah. Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Like, it threw me off whenever he's like, it's the sequel to Death of Superman. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to do something with wrestling much in the same way.
Right.
Because he just kind of talked and then he had some reenactments, and so I think it'll be a lot of that. That style of creation. I don't know exactly
what he's going to focus on.
I think that at some point he said it was the career of Triple H, and I don't know if that's... I don't know. That could be lots of things still. You know, it could lead up to present day.
That's really making me, like, think hard of, like, what that would have to do with the title.
Yeah.
But then again, that could be, you know, it could be something completely different.
So, he seems to be a talented dude. I've liked a lot of the stuff he's put out. It's been very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got to do here. So that's making me happy that there's a release date
for that. Yeah, and it's soon. Yeah, that helps. So, cool.
All right, fantastic. Anything else for you?
Nope, nothing
else. All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you... I completely blanked out. Yes. If you want to...
I did too. I was like, this is not my job. I don't know what you have to say next.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so you can look us up there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. All that stuff helps out the podcast, helps out the shenanigans with the iTunes ratings, rankings.
And if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling,
good job.
Send us a comment on there. We would love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook, another way to comment, another way to just kind of interact, keep up with fans, and just basic general wrestling chit-chat. Until next time, stay classy, and huzzah.
Huzzah.